Pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit. From the morning prayer to the Sunday school, from the Sunday school to the praise and worship, from the praise and worship to the worship service, you have made yourself known today. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, because you didn't have to do it. You could have passed by us, but Lord, you decided to stop by Siloam. You decided to fill us up with your spirit and give us some Jesus joy and give us hope for tomorrow. Lord, our hearts are full. So full we just can't sit still. So full we can't keep our feet still. So full we can't keep our mouths shut. Because when I think of the goodness, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. So Lord, just pardon us this morning while we get our praise on. Pardon us this morning, O Father, as we give you glory, honor, and praise. Pardon us this morning, Lord, if we don't follow the protocol or the order of worship, but we let the Lord have his way. Just do your thing, Lord. We shall be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Lord of his spirit, lost in love. This is your story? Is this your song? Praising the Savior. All the day long. Amen. Amen. It must be God calling. Hang up if it ain't God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. We have two scriptures for you to look at this morning. To the book of Psalm chapter 63, Psalm chapter 63, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 63, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Listen to God's word. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land, where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary, and behold your power and your glory. You know that's right. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Turn with me now to the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6, you will find these words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Watch this. Let the wicked what? Forsake his ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to who?
The Lord.
And he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. He will freely pardon. I want to use this preaching moment to preach this morning on the subject, the pathway to a cure for sin. A pathway to a cure for sin. Silently now we wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open our ears, our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, and illumine them, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to direct your attention to the oldest problem on the planet we call Earth. It is the problem of sin. Does not matter how old you are, where you come from, or what you do. Does not matter how much money you make, or how many degrees you have hanging on your walls. Sin is a problem we must all deal with. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, he's talking about you. If the Bible is to be believed, sin was a problem almost from the creation of the universe. And it remains an egregious problem to this day. And until Jesus comes to inaugurate a new heaven and a new earth, we all know something about sin. The Bible says that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I don't care who you are, how holy you think you are. I don't care what title you carry in the church. I don't care where you sit, how you sit. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Am I right about that?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, I got bad news today. You a sinner. No, I said you a sinner. And that other person say, ought to say, that person who said you're a sinner, you turn to them and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh neighbor,
oh neighbor.
It takes one.
It
takes one. Amen, Wall. That's a sermon for next week. Not only is sin common, but it is also destructive. Read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 tonight, and you will see that death was introduced to the universe because Adam and Eve sinned. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If Adam and Eve had not disobeyed God, we'd be able to say, yo, Adam, what was it like when God said, let there be? That's the way it should have been. God told them, don't touch the fruit. And they not only touched it, but the Bible says they ate it. And you know what? The Bible says that they died. And you know what else? So will we die. Because by now, all of us have now sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, sin is not a joke. It is not something to play with, because if you mess with it, it will destroy your life. You ever hear people talk about that little white lie? I never understood why that was a white lie, but they talk about the little white lie as if it's innocent, it's inconspicuous, it's there but it's not there. Honey, let me let you know, sin is sin. Now most of us, if not all of us, already know this about sin, but the question is, why do we still sin? If you know it's deadly and dangerous and destructive, why is it that we just keep on sinning? It's because sin is attractive. Sin is different and interesting. Therefore, it gets our attention. Go into the garden with Adam and Eve and they see that fruit. God said you can eat of every tree in the garden except for one. What tree does he want to eat from? The one he told him not to eat from. Sin often makes us feel good. It got quiet up in here, but you know I'm right. It makes us feel better. And while we think it makes us feel better, it does not make us better. You see, the Bible is full of examples of sin. Adam and Eve died because of sin. Moses fell from grace because he could not resist sin. David lost his kingdom as a result of sin. And Solomon had hundreds of wives, and you know that had to be a sin. Amen, sisters. I could go on and on, but the point is, even great men and women of God fall prey to the temptation of sin. And lest I seem big-headed, I want you to know y'all need to pray for your pastor. Amen. Because he is subject to sin. How about you, though, today? How about you today? Can you look yourself in the mirror and say you are above the problem of sin?
No.
Amen. We too must give an account of our lives and what we do with the gifts that God has given us. I don't care who you are or how holy you think you are or how righteous you claim to be. My Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Am I right about that, Siloam? So how do we deal with this sin problem? I want to offer to you two ways to deal with this sin problem and how to overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. Then I'm going to get out your way. Number one, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him. Notice who I'm talking about now. While he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. How many of you know that sin starts not in your hands, but in your head? It begins right here in your mind, and your mind begins to play games with you, and next thing you know, your hands are following your mind instead of following God.
Preach. Teach.
Goes on to say, let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. That's good news. Brothers and sisters, if you need to get out of, you need a get out of jail card as a result of your sin, look at what Isaiah says here. He says, number one, he says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, not your mother, not your father, not your doctor, not your lawyer, not your friend. Watch this, not your pastor, because your pastor can sympathize with you, he can empathize with you, but all a good pastor can do is point you. Amen.
Amen.
I can't wipe not nail one sin out of your life. But I know somebody who can. You see, my Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are made whole. We're not made whole by what we say to one another. We're made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, turn it over to Jesus, but that's not all. A lot of people want to stop with verse 6, but look at verse 7.
Yes, yes.
Verse 7 says, let the wicked, that's you, that's me, that's us, let the wicked, what? Forsake his ways and his evil thoughts.
Amen.
In other words, if you're doing something in your spirit, is your spirit is telling you that what you're doing is wrong, stop doing it.
Amen.
It's as simple as that.
Amen.
You go into the store, you see the lottery ticket, and they tell you you can win $6 billion today if you only play. You say, well, if I only play just this one time. You want to know why I don't play the lottery? I've said this before in Bible study. I don't know if I've said this from the pulpit. I do not play the lottery. I don't believe I've ever bought a lottery ticket in my life. I will not buy a lottery ticket. You want to know why I don't buy a lottery ticket? I'm going to win. I'm honest with you today. If I were to go out here and buy a lottery ticket, I'm going to win. Now, you're going to say like most other people, well, you buy it and give it to me, right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. What am I going to do with that money? If that money came through an ill-gotten means, if God wasn't behind what I did, what am I going to do with that money? Oh, I'm going to give the church a tithe. But what happens to my soul? I'd rather be broke with Jesus than have $1 million and 1 million friends. Amen. In other words, if you are doing something wrong and your spirit tells you it's wrong, stop doing it. It may take you a while, to get that thing out of your life. Let me stop right here. We know we have some issues in our lives. And the reason why those issues are still in our lives is because they are determined to stay right where they are. There are some things in my life that I've been struggling with for years. Let me be honest with you. There's some things I've been struggling with. Now, you're going to ask me what they are? None of your business. Amen. And don't ask Sister West after church. Amen.
Hey, Sister West.
There are some things I'm struggling with. I've cried about. I've taken to the Lord in prayer. I fasted over. And they go out of my life for a period of time, but then somehow they have a way of crawling. Wow. Have I come down your street yet? I want you to know that's how the devil works. Just because he loses you doesn't mean he gives up on you.
That's right.
Come on, sir.
Preach.
So he creeps and he crawls and he nags and he pulls people aside and he gives you a little success here and a little failure there. He messes with your mind until finally you find yourself right back where you started. We have to learn how to trust in the Lord so that he can take those things out of our lives eventually so that we never, ever do them again. This may take a while, but brother, you can do it. Sister, it's going to be all right. Just keep on pushing and keep on trusting and keep on believing and keep on asking for forgiveness and cleansing and filling, and God will change you. There's somebody here who used to smoke. Amen. Have I got a witness? Anybody here used to smoke? But you've been delivered. Am I right? There's somebody here who used to on Friday night, Saturday night. Have I got a witness? I'm being for real, right? There's some folks here who used to be up in your room. I'm being real here today. I better stop right there, though. But I'm being real here today. You know what it's like. But one day, you put down that cigarette. You put down that reefer. You put down that John, that Mogan David. You put down whatever it was. And you have never picked it up again. It can happen. It happens. It works. If we just keep on pushing and keep on trusting God and keep on leaning on his word, we will find out that our God is a deliverer. And he will set the captives free. In Psalm 63, may I show you one thing and then I'm through. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Brothers and sisters, if you truly want to live for God and reach the fullness of your spiritual potential, you must seek God. Sin loves a vacuum, but God fills the vacuum. Don't expect God to come to you. He already did his part when he sent his son Jesus, but now it's up to us. Do you want Christ? Do you need Christ? Do you desire his love and mercy? Then go get it. Seek him in his word. Seek him in prayer. Seek him in service. Seek him in his fellowship. And yes, seek him in praise and worship. Learn how to open up your mouth and give God some praise.
Give him a heartfelt praise. Give him a soul praise. Give him what he desires of us. Our praise, our worship. Why? Because his love is greater than life. His grace is more than we deserve. His protection has kept us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. We could have been dead on a highway years ago, but yet we're in the house of the Lord today. If that's not a reason to praise the Lord, I don't know what is. For if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Salome, I've stopped by here to tell you that we are not defeated. We're in the midst of this Lenten season, and that's why I'm preaching on this again, because it's so important that we understand that during Lent, this is a season of purification, of cleansing of our mind, our souls, and our spirit as we prepare for the highest and holiest day on the Christian calendar, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important to us than the fact that our God is alive and well, and he's coming back again. But to honor him, we must take a careful look at ourselves. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position in the church is. You may have a title in the church, starting with me. But I need to examine myself. You need to examine yourself. You need to examine yourself. Yeah, you in the balcony. You need to examine yourself. We need to examine ourselves. Be honest. Yes. We're not all that. Yes. And we're surely not a bag of chips.
That's right.
We need to be honest enough to say that there's an area of our life that we haven't yet touched. And say, Lord Jesus, I want you to get control of that area too. So that when we come to Resurrection Day, and we think about the sacrifice of our Savior, how he came and he lived and willingly died that we might have eternal life, we can enter into praise at a whole new realm and realize that we are free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are now truly, genuinely, spiritually free at last. Anybody want this for yourself? Anybody want this for your child? Anybody want this for your spouse? It's here. It's possible. It's right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank and praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who cleanses us and washes us of all sin, who renews us and gives us a new chance and a new walk and a new talk, and who promises us an eternal and everlasting relationship by way of the Holy Spirit that we will never, ever, ever be separated from you again. As we prepare, Lord, for this high holy season, wash us, cleanse us, correct us, pick us up when we fall down,
please, Lord.
Dust us off when we're dirty, give us a fresh start, that we may honor you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Don't
Doors of the church are open if you're here today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you stand in need of this fresh start. We want you to know it's possible. All you need to do is come and let us pray with you. Start that process. Your life will never, ever be the same again. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't you tired? You can rest a while if you only give your heart, your life to Jesus Christ. If you do not have a church home this morning, we want to give you this opportunity to become part of the Siloam Baptist Church family. We're not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. We invite you to come and join us in the journey as we draw just a little bit closer to here. If either of these invitations are to you, would you come? Let us pray with you this morning. Come, give your heart to the Master. Come, give your life to the Lord. Can we sing that chorus one time? Praise the Lord. No more. Doors are still open. I'm going to extend one last invitation this morning, and that is for prayer. If you're here today and you desire prayer, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray for me. I'm struggling in some area. Maybe it's a sin area. Maybe it's a sickness area. I want to invite you to come and join me at the altar. Let's go to God in prayer.